três shiurim Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, 15 lines from the bottom. Vafraf Papa Hadabei. In our previous shiur, we had learned a machloikus of the Tanakam and Abishol regarding what exactly constitutes Me'ila, where the Tanakam said that in order to be over Me'ila, you had to have eaten a kezayis of Hegdish, and according to Abishol, it had to be Shavapruta. But then Rav Papa had suggested that when Abishol says that it has to be a Shavapruta, he also holds that it has to have a kezayis. But the Gemara showed us that that isn't accurate. And the Gemara now says that after Rav Papa Hadabei, even Rav Papa himself ultimately agreed that according to Abishol, the only factor to take into consideration when it comes to being over Me'ila is it a Shavapruta or not? The Tanya. The Braisa begins by discussing the halacha of Moel Behegdish, and the Pasuk says, Nefesh kisimol Moel v'chot v'shkoge v'kotch Hashem, if somebody violated the Issa of Me'ila, v'hevi as Hashem al Hashem, ayal tamim ratzoin, and the fact that the Torah says, v'chot v'shkoge, we learn, prat l'mezit, that the Veira of Me'ila is only violated if somebody was Moel v'hegdish v'shoyig, not if he was Moel v'hegdish b'mezit. Ask the Gemara, v'loidinhu, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that there is no chiv carbon, there is no chiv asham me'ilas, if somebody did me'ila b'mezit? We could have learned it with a svara. Ma sham mitzvahs, when we talk about all other averis, chaylev, dam, that the halacha is that if somebody, Rachman Slon, violated one of these averis b'mezit, the halacha is that he's chayiv karis. Still, paita ben es amezit, he would not be chayiv a carbon if he violated this avera b'mezit. Mila, shame by karis, that if somebody, chas v'sholem, was moil behegdish, the oynish is not karis, the oynish is misim de shemayim, and the Gemara at this point, which will be the maskona as well, but at this point the Gemara considers misim de shemayim a less serious punishment, certainly than enedin shapata as amazed that there wouldn't be a chiv carbon. So the Gemara in Masech de Shabbos, according to Rashi's understanding, says that what's the difference between Mesa B'dei Shemayim and Karis? That Mesa B'dei Shemayim only affects the person, the perpetrator, who did the Aveira. Whereas Karis affects the children of the person who did the Aveira as well. And that's why Karis is considered a more serious Aveira. Others explain that the difference between Karis and Mesa B'dei Shemayim is that the chorus already affects the individual when he's 50 years old, and Misav Dei Shemayim is only when he's 60 years old, says the Gemara Loi. The Gemara says, so the Gemara's question now is, why did I have to have a pasuk to say that if somebody did Mila B'mezit, he's not Chayiv Karbon? We could have learned it from all the places, where from Dam and Chaylev, says the Gemara Loi. So now Gemara is turning the tables, and the Gemara is saying that no, that maybe Misa B'dei Shemayim is considered more of a serious oynish than Karis, and therefore Mila, which comes with Karis, which comes with Misa B'dei Shemayim, cannot be learned from these other averis. And I saw the Rishonim say, because this opinion holds that Misa B'dei Shemayim affects the person at a younger age than Karis. So ask the Gemara. V'amalei Reb Nachman Yitzchak L'chi Bar Ava. Hai Tana, Mikera Ilimalei Karis. He says, I'm not following what's happening here. First, this Tana held that Karis is a more serious punishment. Upsoif, Alimalei Misa. And then he says, Misa B'dei Shemaim is a more serious punishment. How do we follow what's happening here? Vamalei, and he responded, Hachakomer. Loi, if you're going to speak about other mitzvahs, Shekein loi chi behen Misa B'pachs M'kazayis, that by all other Averis, you're not chayiv the oinish unless you ate less than a kazayis. Time of meila, shechayiv ba misa gam b'pachs m'kazayis, that you chayiv misa even if it's less than a kazayis, as long as it's a shava pruta. Vamalei, and when Reb Nachum ben Yitzchak now said to Reb Chiya bar Ava, tenuach datcha shenach destati. Now you made me calm because you were able to explain the brisa. Vamalei. And Rav Chiya said, "The main chusa, the Rav of Rav Sheshi shot of a nargo. They threw an arrow into this explanation. Man shamdli, who's the opinion that holds? Dama hezav emila that holds that if somebody was over emila b'mezid, the oynish is misav de shemayim. It's Rebbe he. The Tanya hezav emila. If somebody violated emila deliberately." Rabbi Yom Misa, the Oynish is Misa Dei Shemaim. The Chama hold that he's over a lav, but it doesn't come with Misa Dei Shemaim. My time of the Rebbe. And where does Rebbe take that there's Oynish and Misa Dei Shemaim for violating Mi'ila B'mezit? Amr B'vua, Gomer Chet Chet Metruma. He learns a Gzeri Shava. Here it says by Truma, V'shamris Mishmarti, V'lisu Loi Chet, or Mesibah Ki Chalalua. And it says regarding Mila, Nefesh Kisima Mal V'chot B'shkogim Mekach Hashem, Ma Truma, if Yisrael eats Truma, B'mezid, the Oynish is Misav Dei Shemayim, because there it's clear, the Torah uses the words of Mesubah, Af Mila, so too is the Halacha B'Mila, if somebody violates Mila, it's Misav Dei Shemayim. Umino, and from there I learn, Ma Truma B'Kazayis, Af Mila B'Kazayis. If by Truma the shear for Misav Dei Shemayim is a Kazayis, so too Mila the shear must be a Kazayis. So this is what Rav and Rav Sheshes. You can't explain the Sefer that by all other Averis the shear is a Kazayis, where Mila it's even less than a Kazayis. Because whose opinion are we trying to explain? Whose opinion is this brisa that says that B'mila is a Misav Dei Shemayim following? It's clearly following the opinion of Rebbe. But Rebbe holds that there is no Misav Dei Shemayim by Mi'ila unless there's a Kazayis. So therefore, your whole question falls away. Or Maska La Rapapa. And Rapapa asked on this, on what Rav and Rav Shesh has just told us. M'may de Rebbe Kerabonitz relay. What makes you say that the shear of by Mi'ila is a Kazayis, and therefore that you learned by Truma to Mi'ila that the Shir by, who says the Shir by Truma is a Kazayis? Maybe the Shir by Truma is not a Kazayis. Dilma Kabishol Sfirlei. Rapapa said maybe he holds like Kabishol. Dama, Yesh Pashav Pruta, that if the Truma that was eaten but mazed is Shav Pruta, Afakav the Lesbi Kazayis, even though it doesn't have a Kazayis, and therefore I learned from Mi'ila also that it doesn't have to be a Kazayis. And therefore, in order to violate, you only have to eat a Shavapruta. And if that's going to be the case, then the way Rav Chiya bar Oven explained the Braisa, you can't learn from other Yisurim to Mi'ila, because Mi'ila, Yechayiv, even by Pachs Mekazayis, will stand. But says the Gemara, we said, Rapapa, he said yesterday, Rapapa, who the Amid Abishol Tati boy, that according to Abishol, even he agrees, it's not just that the Shavapruta is the factor to take consideration, we also have to have a Kazayis. So how could you say that the only thing that I look at by Mila, by Truma, is a Shavapruta? El Shmamino, it must be that Hadabay. The Rapapa retracted from that. And Rapapa's opinion is that according to Abishol, the only factor to take into consideration by Mila is it Shavapruta or not? A Kazayis is not a factor. Says the Gemara. Mabre de Ravana. The Gemara goes back
to the Braisa. The Braisa said, Loi, Eva Marta Bisham Mitzvahs, Shekhen Loi Chaiba Misa, Tama Mila Shekhaiba Misa. And we had a problem with that statement because first the Braisa said that Mila is considered a lesser Avera because Mila only carries with it Misa B'dei Shemayim, and Chelev and Dam carry with them Karis. Therefore, the Gemara wanted to say, we certainly can learn the halacha of the being a exemption from a carbon amazed by Mila from those other Averis, which are more serious Averis, stricter Averis, and there is no carbon amazed. Certainly by Mila, there wouldn't be carbon amazed also. Then the Braisa immediately turned itself around, where the Braisa said that no, that maybe Mila is a stricter Avera. Seemingly, the explanation was because the fact that Mila comes with Misa B'dei Shemayim, the Gemara at that point considered that a more serious Avera, that to make it into a more serious Avera than Karis. And the Gemara was holding the Misa B'dei Shemayim is a more serious punishment than Karis. And we right away asked, how's the Braisa turning itself around one way to the other? Mabrei de Ravana. So Mada Ravina comes to try and understand the Braisa. Hachi Kamer. This is the way I understand that the Braisa. Certainly, the Braisa remains consistent. That Karis is considered a more serious punishment than Misa B'dei Shemayim. But, in Mamad B'Sham Mitzvahs, if we're going to speak about other Averis, Shloi Osman Sh'ein Meskavim K'meskavim. By all other Averis, as we learned extensively in Masech the Shabbos, if somebody did not have Kavona to do the Avera, he's not Chayiv, as only somebody who had Kavona. As we learned, Shemneskam Velachtash Es Hatolish. He thought he wanted to pick up a fruit that was disconnected from the earth on Shabbos. V'chotach HaMechubur. And he then ended up picking up a fruit that was connected. He's Potter, he's not Mechuyiv, a karmachatas. For somebody picking up a fruit from the ground, certainly he's over the melacha of kaitzer. But if he didn't have a mind to do that avera, he didn't have a mind. Kaitzer, by definition, means that whatever he's picking up is connected to the ground. But if somebody didn't have a mind to pick something up that's connected to the ground, even though he ultimately did pick something up like that, it's considered misasik. And as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, the reason you're potter by Shabbos from Masasik, because the Torah is very clear on Shabbos, you're only chai from Malacha, which is a Malachas Machshavis. And if this wasn't your intent, if it wasn't your intent to pick up something that's connected to the ground, that isn't considered a Malachas Shabbos. That would only help us for Hilchas Shabbos. But we're learning now that by all Malachas, there's a Torah Masasik. Why? So the Gemara Masech, the Krisis addresses that. And the Gemara says, Daf Yotes Amin Aleph Masech, the Krisis, Ashechot Taba, and we learn from there, Prat L'Masasik. The interesting question, of course, is, once there's a limud, that by all Averis, there's a Prat L'Masasik, so then why do we have to have a special exemption by Shabbos? Because of Melechus Machshavis, Shabbos should be included in the same category as all Averis and be exempt because of a Shechotaba. So the Rechroinim say that Shabbos, you can't say a Shechotaba would accept somebody who doesn't know that today is Shabbos at all. Misasik means that I know that I don't realize what I'm doing. What would be if somebody didn't realize, he knows what he's doing, but he forgot today is Shabbos? We learned the Masechta Shabbos that he's potter. A Shechotaba doesn't exempt him. That's why we also have to have the Ptor of Melechus Machshavos. Time, Rabbi Mila. Whereas, so by all Averis in the Torah, there's an exemption called Masasik. Time, Rabbi Mila, whereas when we speak about Ma'ila, Shem Neskavim L'scham Begizei Chulin, if somebody wanted to warm himself up with wool that's chulin, and by mistake, nischamin begizei oilo, he took the wool of a carbon oilo that was there, shemal, his chayiv, me'ila at that point. So why? If Mesasik is potter by Kol HaTorah Kula, why is it not potter by Mila? So Rashi says, the very maskal timer, that by Mila the Torah uses the words V'chota B'shkogam, and it doesn't begin to differentiate what type of shagig. So I learned from there that every type of shagig, even Mesasik, the Aloch is Yechayif. Other Rishonim take a different approach. There's a very famous rule that even though, as we just said, that B'kol HaTorah Kula, if somebody did an Aveira in the fashion of a Mesasik, he's potter. The Gemara says, HaMesasik, in Masechta Krisis, Daf Yotes of a Beis, HaMesasik B'chalovim B'rayis, if somebody was a Mesasik, but he ate something which is not kosher, or he had a relationship that's not permitted, he's Chayiv. And the Gemara says, it's Shekein Nena. At the end of the day, he had Hanah. So we learn from there a new rule that even though Mesasik is potter, the only time a Mesasik is potter is when it's an Aveira that doesn't come with a Hanah. But picking up something from the ground on Shabbos doesn't give the person physical Hanah. But Chalovim, Arayis, Mi'ilo, you have Hanah. So since you have Hanah, therefore, there's no Ptorah Mesasik. The only question now that Tosfos Rosh asks, so the Gemara wanted to say that Mi'ila is a unique Aveira, the way Rashi helped us understand it. That even though B'chol HaTorah Kula, you're not Chayiv when you did the Aveira B'Mesasik, Mi'ila you are Chayiv. But in the way those Rishonim learn, Mi'ila is a unique Aveira. Because it's not unique. Anytime you have Hanah, you should have, you don't have a Ptor Mesasik. So why is Mesasik considered, why is Me'ila, the Gemara is saying now, considered a more serious Aveira? So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that Chalovim and Arayis, even though they're now similar to Me'ila, because they're all Aveiras where you have Hanah, and the Gemara is saying is that by any the way these Rishonim are learning, any Aveira that you have Hanah, there is no Ptor of Mesasik, but by Chalovim and Arayis, the Aveira cannot be performed through a Shliach. If somebody else eats the non-kosher food, even if he ate it by my instruction, or somebody had an illicit relationship, even though he did it by my instruction, the halacha will be that I'm not going to be Chayiv, even if under any circumstances. Mi'ila, if somebody, we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem Masechta Mi'ila, if somebody instructs somebody to be Mo'il, the instructor will be Chayiv. So that's a Chumra that Mi'ila has. So now we have a very unique Aveira in Mi'ila. You Chayiv by Mesasik, and you also Chayiv even through a Shliach. Nachma Yitzchak Amar, Hachik Amar. This is a different way of understanding the Braisa. Hakama, Loi, you can't learn Mi'ila from other Asurim, and by that, from Chayiv and Dam, and by there come to the conclusion that there's no Chiv Karban B'Mezid, and therefore the question we began today share with, so why do we need a special pasuk exempting if somebody did Mi'ila B'Mezid from a Karban? Shem Imamat Misham Mitzvahs, Shekel HaMeschayben, Shem Mesasik HaMesasik, Shem Neskavim LaHagbiyat Tolush, V'Chotach Esam Chobah Shepotar. As we just learned, timer memila kli little chayfets. You put your hand into a vessel to take something out. Vesach yada b'shemesh hakodesh, and totally inadvertently in that keli was oil that belonged to hegdish. That the halacha is shema. So what is the difference? Of course, the Rishonim try to understand between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's explanation and Ma'abrei the Ravna's explanation. So the Rishonim explain as follows. In that case we spoke about, Niskavim lachtach tolish v'chotach mechubar. So over there, your melacha was done on a different object than you had in mind. You wanted to pick up the tomato that was disconnected from the ground, and you picked up the tomato that was connected to the ground. That, he says, would not be considered Mesasik. He holds that the only time it's considered the misasik is when you didn't have a mind to do this malacha at all. And that's why he explains it with a case where he did have a mind to do a maisa kaitzer, and the difference by me'ila to that malacha. So we learned in the Braisa on the Aflamet Beis Omer Aleph, Omer Mar, B'medvar Mamurim, when is the halacha apply that a zor, as we learned in our Mishnah, discussed extensively in our previous year, when is the halacha that B'medvar Mamurim, that a zor eats Trumas Chametz on Pesach, even though he ate a B'shagig, he still has to pay Keren V'chaymish? That's B'mafesh Truma, when you took off the truma from the dough before the dough became chametz. And then, afterwards, the chmitza. Avil hifresh chametz. If the dough you took the truma from was already chametz before you took the truma, avil hifresh chametz truma, the rakel and the kedusha, that piece of dough has no chiv of truma. Because everybody will agree that it has no value because it's chametz, and chametz on Pesach has no value. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, how do we know that taking truma from chametz on Pesach is a meaningless ask? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Kra, Titin Loi, V'loi Lo'oiroi. When we give the truma to the Kohen, we have to give him something that he could eat. Something that he has to dispose of is not considered that I gave him something. And since the truma at the moment I took it was Osir V'Hanor, it was Pesach, therefore it's not a meaningful act. So just to understand this Gemara, we have had a very fundamental machlokes tanoim, if Chametz B'Pesach is Mutar B'Hanor or Osir V'Hanor. So certainly, according to the Man D'Omer that holds the Pesach, which is the halacha, the chametz with Pesach is osur b'hanor. So of course you can't take off truma from chametz. There, the Rishonim explain, the Torah says, v'nosan l'kayin es ha-kaydish, you have to give him something that can become kaydish. The Torah says, reish is to go on chatit eloi. And all of the, and chametz, if it's osur b'hanor, is meaningless. The question over here is, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who we have been learning, that according to his opinion, Chametz and Pesach is Mutar B'Hanor. So Tosfos, the very Maskil Titein, explains that the Gemara wants to know how will Rabbi Yosef Aglili agree that if Truma was taken from something which is Chametz, it's meaningless. Moser Ravuna Ber Yeshua, it says in a Mishnah Masechta Trumas, Perek Beis Mishnah Beis, Ain Tarmim, one cannot take off truma from produce which is tamei on produce which is tahor. Vim taram, if one did so, b'shoigig, if he did so, b'shoigig, trumas truma, but the evidence valid. But the question is, amai, why would it be valid? We're saying now, the Gemara just taught us, that if when you take off the truma, it can't be eaten, it can only be burnt, which is the halach of truma tamei. It should be loy v'loy loyroy. That we just learned that you said that whenever if you take off the truma, that it will never have a time that it may be eaten. So it's not valid hafroshes truma. This is that type of a situation. The Rishonim explain why is there indeed that why is there halacha you can't take mitamei al tar, and if you did a bit shogig it's fine. So some Rishonim explain that this whole din is a din of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon were concerned about the welfare of the Kohen. And if what you're going to give the Kohen is something which is Tamei, that the only thing he could do with that Truma is burn it, it's a hefsa for the Kohen. So if you did a B'shagig, the Rabbanon were lenient. If you did a B'mezid, the Rabbanon were machmer. However, there are other, that's the way Rashi explains. There are other Rishonim that take a different approach. There's a halacha that when you take truma, you need not take truma from every barrel individually. But even though you don't have to take from every barrel individually, you could take from one barrel for many barrels, you may not take min haraw from inferior quality ala yofa on good quality. And that's the reason why it won't work. But now the question is, if we're learning loy v'loy l'oyroy is critical in truma, how could you take, why if you took min atamei el ator, is it valid, albeit b'shoigig? Answers the Gemara loy kasha. In the case where it was tamei and tor, it was shahos l'shasa kosher. At what point it wasn't tamei? And therefore, even though now when I actually took it, it was already tamei, that's why the evidence acceptable. Hocho, in the case where you took truma from chametz, it was never good. It's Pesach. Pesach chametz is aser. Ask the Gemara, food doesn't begin as chametz. You're saying that the case of our brisa is referring to chametz that never was not chametz. How could you have food that was never at chametz? Answers the Gemara, it could happen to go into Achmetz with Mechubar. The Chometz, it became Chometz when it was still connected to the ground. That means you had Tvua that was connected to the ground and it rained on it or it got very wet to the degree that it became Chometz. And then on Pesach, you cut that grain. That grain is ready Chometz. And that grain would never had a shasa kosher that it wasn't chametz, and we're learning that you. And since it's chametz on Pesach, if you're going to take off truma from it, you're going to be taking off loyroy. But in fact, the Gemara says aval achmetz betolish. According to this, the only reason the Bryce is disqualifying this is because it never had a shasa kosher. But let's say you would have had tvuah that was not chametz from the outset. And only afterwards it became, which is the normal situation, afterwards when you made it into a dough or whatever, that's when it became chametz. So now we're learning hachanami dekotcha. It would be a valid truma. Amalei, says the Gemara, in. And he says, absolutely. And there's a pasuk in Daniel, which the pasuk discusses, b'gzeiris irin pizgama u'bemama kedishin sha'alta. This halacha was said by the malachim. That means the halacha that we're learning now is something that all the Talmidei Chachamim who are compared, Rashi explains, to Malachim, said this way. The came Marmer Bein Midrashi Kavasei, and that's what was taught in the yeshiva as well, that only by Chametz, which never had a Shasa Kosher, and then you took off that Truma on Pesach, that would not be a valid Maisa Hafrosha, even B'shoigig. But if it had a Shasa Kosher and you did it, B'shoigig, it would be valid. The Tzlach asks a question. This whole discussion, as we pointed out from Tosis, Titen Loi, was only following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi HaGalili, who says the Chametz of Pesach is Mutar B'Hanoah. But as we immediately pointed out, as we paskin that the Halach is not like Rabbi Yosi, and we paskin that Chametz with Pesach is also Banor. And according to that discussion, according to that opinion, this whole discussion wasn't necessary. So when is there going to be a Nafka Minna regarding Shoyz Lo Shasa Kosher, Loyz Lo Shasa Kosher? It doesn't make a difference. If you take Truma from Chametz on Pesach, it's meaningless because it's also Banor. So the Tzlach says, you're right. As far as Chametz with Pesach, as far as that halacha, doesn't make a difference. But we learned that if you take from Tmeya on Tahira, it's valid b'di'evid. But now we're going to say that when is it valid b'di'evid? That's where the halacha a Hoysla Shasa Kosher or La Hoysla Shasa Kosher is relevant. So our Gemara now taught us that you could have grain that becomes chametz when it's still connected to the ground. So the Rashba, and the Shal Satshuvah Sarashba, Chelik Zayin Simon Chaf, asks, how could something become chametz when it's still connected to the ground? He says, if we're going to have to be concerned that something connected to the ground becomes chametz, then we'll never be able to make matzah, because we should have to always be concerned that the grain, the flour, that the grain that was made, was used to make the flour that we're going to use for the matzah was already chametzdig when it was connected to the ground. And so the Rashba explains that the only time we need to be concerned about grain becoming chametz when it's still connected to the ground is when it's completely ripened. Once it's already completely ripened and it doesn't need to be nourished from the ground, that's when we have to be concerned that it can become chametz. But if it's cut from the ground before it's completely ripened, grain that's not completely ripened while it's still connected to the ground can never become chametz. And that is the halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tavsa Mechzayin, Sif Hei. Dogen Shabbat Mechuba, Shinishabish Gamri. Tfua, grain which is completely dried, Venetzarach Liniach, Yanika, and it doesn't need nourishment from the ground. Kami Shemunach Bekadu, it's like if it was in a barrel. Mekabel Chametz, and it can become Chametz, Im Yodol of Gishamim. So that's why the Chaya Adam in Klal Kuf Chav Ches Sif Beis, Mr. Brewer quotes it in Tov Samach Zayin Sif Katan Yud Zayin. You have to be very careful on the grain that we're going to use for the matzahs that it shouldn't become completely ripened and then it will rain and the rain will make it chametz. Moreover, the Achroinim teach us that the halacha is that the Torah says, v'shamartem es hamatzos. So, that the matzahs require shimur. And the halacha is, that therefore, that part of that obligation, explains the Divrei Chaim, in the Shas HaTshuvos, Chelek Beis, Simulam Tes, is to make sure that the grain that you're using for the matzah that's attached to the ground doesn't become chametz stick. And that's what's known as Shmira Mishas Ktsira, that you're not only watching the grain after you collect it from the ground. Now, Mishas Ktsira, when you pick it up from the ground, you also have to watch and make sure that it wasn't in a state that it could become chametz, as the Rashba and Shulchan Aruch teach us. There are Rishonim that disagree, and they take the approach that the only time that we have to be concerned that the grain, while it's still attached to the ground, could become chametz, is only if there's a lot of rain. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sif Katan Yud Ches that only if Yordu Gishamim Merubim, if a lot of rain fell, and of course that it also has to be after the grain is already ripened, then and only then do we have to be concerned about the grain becoming chametz. And they also go on to explain, the Shari Tshuva discusses that there are simonim, the ways to tell that you have to be concerned that this grain is chametz, if it's cracked open or it's swelled up. That's all we have to be concerned. Under normal circumstances, we don't have to be concerned. And because of this, there are those that are careful because of this discussion to cut the grain that's going to be used for matzah when it's still green, when it clearly didn't get ripe yet. Daruch HaShulchan disagrees. He says that if you're going to cut the grain too early, then the grain will be very hard to work with to make proper matzah. And that kind of grain, Daruch HaShulchan suggests, in Simon Tov Sav Mechzayim, Sif Katan Yud, may be more prone to become a chametz than other type of grain. And he says that the definition of Shmura Mishas Ktsira means from after the cutting, that's when you have to start much, that's when the din of a Shmatam as a matzah comes into play. As long as it's connected to the ground, I need not be concerned. Rav Huna Ben Yeshua brings a different raya, how we know that truma that was taken on Pesach when it's already chametz is not valid. It says the Gemara of Huna Ben Yeshua, Amar Kra, the pasuk says regarding the halacha of hafrashas truma and giving it to the kohen, reishis. Reishis means Shireh Nikarim L'Yisrael. That means we started with food, with Tevel, and all of Tevel may not be eaten, not by Yisrael, not by a Kohen. And now, when I take off the Truma, it's no longer Tevel. What does it mean it's no longer Tevel? The portion of Truma which is given to the Kohen will be given to the Kohen for him to consume, and the rest are going to be for the Yisrael. But if you take off Chametz on Pesach, It's Ein Shira and the Karim, because the Yisrael may not eat the truma, may not eat the rest, because it's chametz. The chametz for Pesach is also b'achila. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger, here on the side, in the Gilyan Hashasks, asks a question. According to this, that the issue is not regarding the truma. The issue is with the Shiroim. And he says, if you look on in the Brisa says the issue is that something which is chametz steak can't be truma. But the way he's explaining, it has nothing to do with the truma. It has to do with the shirah. So according to Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua explanation, then this distinction that we made between hois lo shasa kosher or loy hois lo shasa kosher doesn't make a difference. Yosef Achabrei Bar Avia, Kamed Rav Chizdav Yosef Am Mishmed Rav Yochan, Anovim Shinitmu, that if you have grapes that became tamei, says the Gemara, Dorchen, they should be squeezed to extract the wine, Pachas Pachas Mibeya. You should make sure never to amass grapes that have the Shir Beya, and by doing that, the Yainon will be kosher l'nesachim. In other words, we have the halacha that something is tamei, that oichel can become tamei. There's a machloikis throughout Shas, the shear of tumas oichelim is kabeya. There's a machloikis throughout Shas, what does that mean? Rashi's explanation is that for food to become tamei, you have to have a shear kabeya. Others say that food can be tamei even when it has less than a kabeya, but to give off tuma, it has to have a kabeya. So here we have a grape, which is tamei. And we're concerned, as long as the wine, as we're going to discuss quite extensively now, as long as the wine is in the grape, the wine is not mekabel tuma. The issue begins when the wine starts coming out of the grape. So what we should do is make sure not to amass a kabeya of grapes. And if you don't have a kabeya of grapes, as we just learned, everybody will agree that it doesn't have the ability to give off tuma. And if it doesn't have the ability to give off tuma, as the wine comes out, it won't be mekabel tuma. This halacha is relevant regarding to netilas yadayim to a meal on bread that doesn't have the shir kabeya. That the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, in Or Chaim, Simen Kuf Nun Ches, Sifkot Tes, that if somebody's going to be eating less than a kabeya bread, then he doesn't have to, when he washes his hands, the Mishnah Berurah paskins that he should wash his hands, but he shouldn't make a bracha on the Til Shadayim. Because the whole reason we wash our hands before we eat bread is because Hilchas Tuma. But if it's never going to be possible, because our hands, we learned Yodayim Askarni Yisayim, and the hands will be Matama, the bread. But if we're not going to have an Oichel of bread, so it can't be Mekabel Tuma. If it can't be Mekabel Tuma, then we don't have to wash our hands. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim. When does this apply? Does this apply by all foods? Or is it only by Chulin, by Truma, and by Kachim? Maybe the halacha is different. But Alma Kosover, going back to this halacha, where he advised us that if we have grapes that are tamei, make sure when you're squeezing those grapes to get out wine, don't put together the amount of kabeya of grapes. Alma Kosover, he's obviously of the opinion, the mashkin mifka pekidim, that the liquid that's in a grape are not a separate from the grape. And therefore, even though the grape is tamei, it doesn't affect the mashkin which are on the grape. But ask the Gemara, lame is kamatama. That asks the Gemara. So therefore, the Gemara explains when do the mashkin become tamei? Since they're a separate entity, lichisachet lo, when they're going to become extracted from the grape. And what we have to accomplish, as we explained, is l'chichsochlu, to be careful that when we squeeze the grape, less l'shura, that we shouldn't have a kabeya of grapes. The question is that I saw that the Achrayim discuss. Here the Gemara is clearly teaching us, the way we're learning now, that the wine, the grape juice in a grape is not considered part of the grape. The question is this a halacha only by grapes, or this apply by all other mashkim as well? It turns out to be a very big machloikus. The Rambam is of the opinion that all mashkin have the same halacha as grapes. The Ravid holds that it's only by grapes. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, even if we're going to squeeze grapes that have a sheer kebeya, it shouldn't make the wine that comes out tamei. D'otanan, ham we learned in a Mishnah, Masechta Taros, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, tamei meis, if somebody who's a tamei meis, shesachet zeisiv anovim, that squeezes olives or grapes, kebeya mukhovenes, that's exactly the size of a kebeya, tahirim. Why? Because as the juice comes out of the grape, or juice comes out of the olive, you don't have any more sheer kebeya. Because when I have a grape that has the size of a kebeya, why does it have the size of a kebeya? Because it has in it the juice. If juice is extracted from it, it doesn't have the sheer kebeya. So why did Reb Yochanan say, ask the Gemara, that it has to be less than a kebeya, even if you have a kebeya? But by the time you're going to get the juice out, you won't have a grape that's the size of a kebeya. And if you won't have a grape that's the size of a kebeya, you won't have a problem. The Rishonim explain, how could the tamei meis touch the grape? So the grape, when he touched it, has the sheer kebeya, and therefore it should become tamei immediately. So they explain that the way he squeezed it was with a pshutei kliyeitz, with a wooden vessel that doesn't have a receptacle. That the halach is that a wooden vessel that doesn't have a receptacle is not mekabel tuma, and therefore, even though he's a tamei meis that's holding it, it wouldn't be metama the grape. Answers the Gemara. Hossam, there the concern is, the oved, that if you already did that, when there's exactly a beya, then you're right. Since we started with a grape that was exactly the size of a kebeya, so if I squeeze out the juice, when the juice came out, the grape wasn't a kebeya, and I wouldn't have a problem. But Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about l'chatchila. Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, a person that wants to do the right thing, what should be told? And we shouldn't start with a grape the size of a sheer kebeya, because gzir dim osl mevid yosim a kebeya. You may start with a grape that's larger than a kebeya. And there, even if the juice is extracted, the grape will still be the size of a kebeya. If the grape will still be the size of a kebeya, it will give tumah to the juice that's coming out. And therefore, Chazal wanted to be careful and didn't want you to take a grape which is exactly the size of a kebeya, because you may come to use a grape which is larger than a kebeya, and then the explanation that we just gave would not be valid. Amar Rav Chisda, man tzayis l'chol Rabbi Yochanan Rabach. So Rav Chisda said to Rav Acha bar Rav Ravia, who said this din to him, who's going to pay attention to you and to Rabbi Yochanan your Rebbe? V'chitum shebehen l'holchen holcha. This grape was tamei. The juice was tamei. How does that disappear? Obviously, says the Gemara, Alma Kesover, Rabbi Chizda's opinion is the mashke mivle b'liya, that the juice in a grape is part of the grape. The kivin de itmelei ochla, and if the grape becomes tamei, itmelei mashkin. The juice is tamei, and there's no way for that tuma to disappear. Amalei, so Rav Acha bar Rav Avia says to Rav Chisda, "V'atloy tesbra the mashkin b'kidim kidi." You don't agree that the juice is considered separate. V'tanan, have we not learned in the Mishnah we just quoted? Tamei meis shesachet zeisiv anovim mechuvanes kebeya. If somebody's tamei meis squeezed olives, grapes that are exactly the size of kebeya, tahirin. So now the Gemara makes its point. Yeah, b'shalom mifka b'kidi. If we're going to say that the juice is not part of the grape, so the explanation we gave, that since the grape is not is only exactly the size of a kebeya, and as soon as some juice comes out, it's no longer the size of a kebeya. Since it's no longer the size of a kebeya, it doesn't have the ability to transmit tuma. Mishemachi taira. Eli amit mivla b'liya. If we're going to say that the grape, the juice is part of the grape, so then what's the difference if the grape is the size of a kebeya or not when I squeeze it? It, the juice is already tame no matter what. Am I tahirim? We know that food to be given off tuma to become tame has to have hechsher, how to become wet. When would these grapes become mukshir l'kabotoma? L'chisachla, as the juice comes out. Kisachla, and as the juice is coming out, botzla shuri, we don't have the shir of a kebeya. Says the Gemara, dilay taymahachi, that if we won't say that juice is part of the grape, ask the Marhad Tanya. We learned in the Braisa and the Flame Beis of an Aleph. Holamaza Doima, le Trumas Tutim Vanovim Shinatmu, taking Truma from berries and grapes that became Tamei, Shemba Loyheta, Chilav Loyheta Asaka. Truma Tamei, under those circumstances, is useless. You may not eat it because it's Tamei. And if, as we keep on repeating, there's an Isser under all circumstances to eat Truma Tamei. What could you do with Truma Tameya? It can be used for fuel. But if it's a juice, it obviously cannot be used for fuel. Haheta Chila, Isbei. Dibay Darchlu, it seems that there can be a situation where it would be mutter. You could squeeze it, Pachs Pachs Mekabeya. So the fact that the Braisa said that they have no Heta Chila means that the juice is Tamei because it's part of the grape, and will always remain tamei. Because if you're going to hold that the juice is not considered part of the grape, and because the juice is not considered part of the grape, therefore, even if the grape is tamei, if you'll squeeze the grapes, pox pox mekabeya, you'll be able to prevent the juice from coming tamei. Why did the Braisa say that grapes that are tamei are useless? Amar Rava, Zera, Chazal were concerned, dema osobe l'dei tekala. We're concerned that if we're going to have grapes that are tamei, you may come to squeeze them when they're more than a kebeya, and therefore Chazal said that they're useless. Amalei bayo micha shina tekala. Is that something that we're concerned? For Tanya, haven't we learned in another brisa? Madlikim bepasu b'shem shatruma shenitmus. We talk about using bread that of or shemen that got trum of trum that got tamei, that you're allowed to use it for fuel. But if we're concerned that if you're going to hold on to it, you may come to use it the wrong way. How could I, nobody uses that much fuel at one time? They use the fuel primarily for cooking. How much do you use at one time? And yet we're not concerned that if you're going to hold on to it, you may come to eat it. But according to you, you should be concerned, just like you were concerned by the grapes, that if you're going to hold on to the grapes, you may come to do the wrong thing with them. Amalei, the pas is talking about zarkle ben eitzim. The bread was thrown in with the firewood, so it became totally inedible. So there's no concern that you can eat that bread. Shem shatruma, ramalei beklemos. The shem was put into a dirty vessel that nobody's ever going to use that oil. So when there's no concern for takala, indeed we're not concerned for takala. But the grapes that I have around that are tamei, if we're not, we have to get rid of because we're concerned that you, even though there is a way of working with them, you may come to takala, you may come to eat them, which of course you may not because they're truma tameya.